Good morning, Connection Church. Good morning. My name is Chris Miller. I am on staff here at Connection Church. And it's my honor and pleasure to be able to bring the message here this morning. Today we're starting a brand new series. The series is called The Gospel Is. And from now until the end of the year, each week we're going to preach on a different aspect of what the gospel message is. This morning being week number one, the aspect we're going to preach on is God's plan. Our text for today is going to be out of Romans chapter 1, verse 16 specifically. And so you can go ahead and turn there if you want. And I also want you to go ahead and mark two other places in your Bible, because I've got a heavy, long message this morning. And I want to make sure that as I get into this and start going, I'm not going to be able to wait for everybody to turn their Bibles. So 1 Corinthians 15:3. And then Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 24. So if you want to go ahead and mark those in your Bible, those are the other large passages of Scripture that we're going to be in this morning. And while you're turning there, I wanted to give you some thoughts I had while I was meditating on this word and while I was meditating on the message that I was going to bring. And some of the thoughts that I had, that was, when we read the Bible, in relation to God's plan, we see that from Genesis all the way through the prophets, through the New Testament, and all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, we see that God has always had a plan. He had a plan for creation. He had a plan of creation. He had a plan of a chosen people. He had a plan for those chosen people, and he had a plan to draw those people unto himself. The plan for those chosen people was to carry the gospel message to the ends of the earth, to you and to me here today. He also had a plan for those holy, or for those chosen people, to bring the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, into the world, in order to reconcile this broken world back to himself. God knew prior to even speaking the world into existence that each one of you were going to be here this morning, sitting right where you're sitting. And he knew that you were going to be listening to this message that I was bringing you this morning. And that was part of God's plan as well. It's no accident that you're here this morning. Sometimes it's hard for us as flawed and broken people to realize that the God of the universe can look down from time and eternity and realize that we are part of God's plan. But I want you to know this morning that you are part of God's plan. Every one of us are part of God's plan. We all may be at different parts of our walk. We all may have different callings on our life. We all may have different things that God has called us to do in and for his kingdom, but we're all part of his plan. We're all in the middle of his plan somewhere right now. But that doesn't mean that any of us is more important than the other. Just because we're at a different area, a level of our walk, or we've got different callings on our life, that doesn't make any of us more important. Every single one of us is sinful. Every single one of us needs a Savior. And every single one of us are broken. The truth is, though, that God does have a plan for your life. Every single one of you in here this morning. It's just as real as the fact of you sitting right here, right now. But today we're not going to look at God's macro plan of saving sinful humanity. We're going to take a closer view of what God's plan is for you and for me. We're going to look at a more personal level of what he's got for us this morning. More importantly, we're going to look at what the gospel does. We're going to look at what the gospel does in the life of a sinner saved by grace, and the power that that gospel message has to transform us into the image of Christ. We will also look at something else that Paul talks about in this verse, and that's something that hinders us from being able to walk out the calling that God has put on our life. While I was preparing this message this week, I got a real in-your-face realization of the intricacy of God's plan in my life. And I'm going to share that some of that with you this morning as I get further and further into this message, that God has even used heartbreak and heartache in my life to mold me and shape me into who he wants to be. And I want you to know that the heartache and the heartbreak in your life, God is using to form you into the image of Christ as well. We don't always like the way that works. We don't like the way that feels. It is rough a lot of times. For those trials and tribulations that we walk through that press us and stretch us and make us cry out to God, and we know that we can't handle those things on our own and we need him to do it, but that's what's building our faith in Christ. That is what is growing us into who he's called us to be. And so we should embrace that. I want you to think back at times in your life where God allowed you to be broken, where he has let you walk through storms in life, sometimes even to the point of thinking that he had abandoned you. I've felt that in my life many times. But I want you to know something this morning. God has never abandoned anybody. He never will abandon anybody. I know some of you are going through those trials and storms right now because I'm going through some of them with a few of you in this room this morning. I'm able to walk that out with you. Not anything special about me, but just the position that God has allowed me to walk into puts me in a position to where I get to see that played out in some people's lives. I want you to look back and I want you to see how God's always carried you through, though. No matter what you went through in life, you're here right now, you've made it through. It may have been extremely difficult. It may have been heart-wrenching. You may have cried out to God for hours and hours and hours. But every single time there was light at the end of the tunnel. You got to the end. And after you came out the other side, you were able to look back and you were able to recognize that what you went through was also part of God's plan. It was part of God's plan to make your faith even stronger than it was to begin with. And we see that his promise in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 to never leave us or forsake us shines true every single time. That God never left us, but he worked it out exactly what he had planned so long ago in order to make us into the image of Christ. So let's read our text this morning and see how God's plan works in the lives of believers to make us more Christ-like. I'm going to start reading in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, but I want you to know I'm going to go back. After I read verse 16, I'm going to go back up and I'm going to pick up verses 1 through 7 in the book of Romans. I know that's not normally the way we read our Bible. We don't usually pick a verse here and pick a verse there, but there's a reason that I'm doing it that way. And as we get deeper into this message, you'll understand exactly why I picked one verse out and then went back and picked up the beginning. So let's read in verse 16. And Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." And now verses 1 through 7. "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, the most beautiful name there is, the name by which all men must be saved. God, and I pray for a powerful work of your Holy Spirit here today. God, I pray that your Spirit will move through this place, that you will touch every single heart in this room, God. I pray that as this message goes out, God, that it will be sharp, that it will cut, that it will convict, that it will do what you've called it to do, God. I pray that you'll take these words that come up jumbled out of my mouth, Lord, and that you'll rearrange them and however they need to be arranged before they hit the ears of the people listening, God, so that your work does what you sent it to do. Father, we love you and we thank you and we're so thankful for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So in that verse I just read in verses 1 through 7, Paul says that you are also among those Gentiles called to belong to Christ Jesus. I want every single one of you to know this morning that God is speaking to you. You're called to be one of his disciples as well. He didn't just call the people in Rome. He didn't just call me. He didn't just call my Imago Dei buddies, brothers in Christ. He called every single one of us in this room right now. He's calling you to belong to Christ Jesus. I want to get that first and foremost. I want you to understand that this morning. Last week when Jordan was asked me if I was interested in preaching this message, I sat down in his office and I asked him, I said, what passage of scripture are we going to be preaching on? What do you want me to preach on? He said, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I said, okay, sounds great. I said, how am I supposed to preach it? He said, God's plan in accordance to what the gospel is. I said, okay, that's awesome. And I was super excited. Y'all, I love to preach the word of God. I'm not very good at it, but I love to do it. I get a chance to preach in Imago Dei Church every once in a while, and every once in a while I get a chance to preach at some other places. But this is my first time getting to preach at Connection Church, and so I was super excited. The first thing I did was text my wife. I'm like, you're not going to believe this? I said, Jordan asked me if I could preach the message on the 17th, and she was so excited. And we set up a date to go to lunch that day. She said, you want to meet for lunch? I said, absolutely. Let's go to Chicken Salad Chick. And I love Chicken Salad Chick. It's one of my favorite places to eat. If you haven't been to Chicken Salad Chick in Statesboro, go there. And it's a halfway point between where she works and where I work. And not only is the food good, but me and John love those little cookies a whole bunch. And so we met at Chicken Salad Chick. We got there and ordered our food. And there was one table open up by the window in the corner. And so we're sitting there praying. I prayed over the food and just thank God for the opportunity they'd give me to be able to come and bring the message. And Kelly looks at me and she said, do you realize the significance of this verse? No, ma'am, I sure don't. She said, this is the very first verse that Vivian and Eric Gatto made us read, memorize, and study when we got saved. How about that? The very first verse in God's plan of my salvation and my sanctification was the very first verse that I got to preach on right here today. You see, I was supposed to preach the college night, the week of the hurricane. And I was excited. My first time to be able to get up on stage, and it's one service. I don't have to preach back to back. I was really, really excited about that. But the hurricane came, canceled it. It was a done deal. And so I was bummed out. I was like, man, I can't believe I just didn't get the opportunity to preach. And then I'm sitting there in Chicken Salad Chick, and I'm conversing with my wife, and we're sitting there looking at each other, and man, just the Holy Spirit just moved upon both of us right there in the restaurant. I'm crying, she's crying, we're crying together. People are looking at us funny, wondering what in the world's going on. We got tears dripping onto our chicken salad sandwiches. But see, what people didn't realize is that our hearts inside of us right then were melting. The Holy Spirit had moved upon us in such a powerful way right then. But I just saw God's plan in action. I saw that the me being upset not to get to preach college night was for something better, because I got to preach this verse this morning, and it would have so much more meaning in my life. And I could put the feeling and the emotion into preaching that God wanted me to put in for everybody here this morning. And I realized right then how much better God's plan is than my plan. Whew, there was a transformation happening in both of us that morning. And then, you know, there's something else more special about this verse. Is I looked up at Kelly and I said, not only is God's plan so beautiful that I get to preach the very first verse that we learned as saved people, but I also get to, this verse also gets to play a part in the restoration of a relationship that's really, really important to us. relationship and part of the body of Christ that has been a little bit fractured. And so this morning, Vivian and Eric Gatto, I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that Kelly and I love you more than anything, more than we could ever express. We are forever grateful for the effort y'all put in to praying for us, to discipling us, for teaching us to pray, for teaching us to study our Bible, and showing us how to be bold in our faith. I want you to know that all of that effort that you put in with us was not wasted. And we love y'all so much. And we are honored to call you brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray that God will allow us to work together for many years to come in sharing the gospel message. You see, all of the heartache that came along with that for this past year or so was all used by God and his plan to grow Kelly and I into who he's called us to be. And once again, I saw that God's plan was better than mine. While I'm thanking people, I want to thank Brandon and John for the leaders that they are, and I want to thank Jordan for the effort that he puts in with me in discipling me and helping me to draw closer to God. I also want to thank everybody else on the Connection staff that helps bring God's plan together. I can assure you that every single person on staff here has a heart for Jesus, and they want to see every one of you in a closer relationship with him. That being said, last Friday, and I'm talking like 2 days ago, I had no idea what I was going to preach on. I knew the scripture, but I hadn't started writing it much yet. So I was laying in bed after Kelly went to work, and I was praying for God. I said, God, show me what you want this sermon to be about. First and foremost, I want it to glorify you. I want it to speak to the hearts of those people that are going to hear it on Sunday morning. And I want it for people, everybody in here, to actually be able to see the transformable power of the Spirit working in somebody's life. And so the first thing I want to do this morning is I want to lay out exactly what that powerful gospel message is. The verse we read said that the gospel is the power of God. So what is that gospel message that is the power of God? And for that, we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. This was also written by the Apostle Paul. And he says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that was the Apostle Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, and that still living is at the time that Paul wrote this. Though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, which is Jesus' half-brother, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as of one abnormally born. That is the gospel message, as simple as it gets, right from Scripture. The God of creation came to earth in the flesh of a man, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, was crucified on a cross. In that crucifixion on the cross, he paid a sin debt that he did not owe. He paid a sin debt for you, and he paid a sin debt for me, because none of us could pay the debt that was required to atone for our sin. He was buried in a tomb, raised back to life on the third day by the power of the Holy Spirit, proving himself then to be God. While he was resurrected, he walked on the earth for 40 days. 40 days walking on the earth after death, being seen by over 500 people. On the 41st day, he ascended to heaven, where he now sits on his throne at the right hand of God, interceding for the saints. And he wants a relationship with every single person sitting in this room today. That is the good news of Christ. That is the purpose of our existence, is to come face to face with Christ. And that's what I want to do here this morning. That's the message that Paul preached, and that's the message I'm going to proclaim to you this morning as well. Christ came, he died, he was resurrected, and he wants a relationship with each one of you here. There's power in this message. There's power in the gospel message that Paul preached and the message that I'm preaching. That power transforms the lives of those people who believe. While I was meditating on the power of the gospel to transform people's lives, God gave me 4 points that he wanted me to bring up to you today. 4 points that I'm going to speak on that show how God transforms the life of a sinner through the power of the gospel. And point number one is the gospel is God's plan to transform lost sinners into saved saints. God's plan of salvation has always been about faith. It's always been about faith in him. We can go to the very first book in the Bible and we see that God had already set in motion his plan right after Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit. They ate the fruit. God's plan was in works, just that quick. God was not surprised that they ate that fruit. He knew they were going to eat that fruit. He knew man was going to fall, but he had a plan already ready to go. It's not a surprise. In Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is the very first mention of the Messiah in the Bible. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. It gives us a glimpse into God's plan of redemption for mankind. And that plan is still in effect today, just like it was 4,000 years ago. That plan of redemption by faith in God is still in effect today for you and for me. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27 says, I will sprinkle clean water in you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You notice what God says. It's God doing it. It's God doing it. It's God doing it. It's not us. Some of you in here today are trying to make yourselves a little bit better before you come to God. I want to get just a little bit cleaner before I come to God. I'm going to stop doing this before I come to God. That's the wrong way to go about it. It's not you doing anything to come to Christ. It's you coming to Christ, and he's going to do that in you. If you are trying to get a little bit better before you come to God, you are working backwards. It will not work. It will not work. God is the one doing the cleansing, not us. He cleanses us from our iniquities. He puts a new heart in us. He pours his grace out upon us. He puts his spirit in us. He gives us the ability to follow his decrees. We don't have that ability. We don't have the ability to be made right with God without putting our faith in God. We can't do it on our own. If we could have done it on our own, Jesus would not have had to die on a cross. We need a Savior. Isaiah 62:12, and they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. A holy people, when we're redeemed by God, he doesn't see our sinful ways anymore. He sees us through the blood of Christ. We are redeemed, and he calls us holy. We are a holy people after we come to faith in Christ. He calls us redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. He gives us titles. The redeemed of the Lord. Everybody in here that's saved is redeemed of the Lord. The second part of this verse really should just like bring joy to every single person that is saved in this room this morning. He says, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Sought out. That means he came looking for us. God came looking for us. He sought you out and he sought me out. And there's people in this room today that God is speaking to right now that he is seeking out right now. We also see that he also calls us a city not forsaken. And we see that Hebrews verse played out one more time. I will never leave you or never forsake you. God will never leave you and never forsake you. Once Jesus has you in his grasp, all the powers of hell cannot so much as move one finger off of you. You are his. You're marked as God's own possession forever, period. Signed and sealed by the blood of Christ. So let's look at a couple new verses in the New Testament that will help solidify this argument just a little bit more. Romans 5:8, but that God showed his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't do it because we deserved it. We were still sinners when he did it. He didn't do it because he had to. He didn't have to do anything he doesn't want to. He's God. But he wanted to show us his love, that while we were still sinners, that's why he did it. He did it out of his love for each one of us in this room. He did it out of his love for the people that he created. Even knowing that most people that walk on the face of the earth will never accept it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. What does this transformation look like in real time and in living color? I would say that the salvation experience is different for every single person. But I will give you a little background on what my salvation experience looked like. It was extremely radical. I was high as a kite on all kinds of drugs out in the middle of the woods, crying out to God, asking him to kill me. Shaking my fist at God and cussing him for everything that was in me. God didn't give up on me, though. Hours and hours he stood there pouring his grace out upon me, calling me and drawing me into himself. Letting me get to a spot where I was so broken and so crushed where I couldn't do anything except look up at God and say, God, you win, please save me. And when I did that, you know what he did? He saved me. Just like that. It was instantaneous. It was like he flipped a light switch. And that big old heavy weight that's right here. Some of y'all have got this big old heavy weight right now. That big old heavy weight, it's dark and it weighs you down in everything you do. It's full of anger, it's full of rage, it's full of hate. He took that away. And I want you to know this morning that he wants to take it away from you too. You see, he wants to take that weight that chains you down, that keeps you tied to the world, and he wants to release that from you. He wants to take it and put it on the cross in order to get you to where you can worship him the way that you're supposed to. He did it for me, and I promise you, he will do it for you. I don't care where you're at today. God will meet you right where you're at. He will pour his grace out upon you. He will take your guilt. He will take your shame. He will nail it to the cross. He will save your soul, and you'll be born again. You can make that happen today. Your experience of salvation might not be as dramatic as mine, but that's okay. Mine had to be because of what he called me to do. But I want you to know this today, that if you come to Jesus in full submission, then he's going to fill you with his spirit. When we come to faith in Christ and he fills us with his spirit, he begins a transformational process in each one of our lives. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes begin to fade away. The pride of life begins to wane, and our hearts begin to yearn for fellowship with God. That's true for every single believer. That's part of the sanctification process. That's the process that purifies us and makes us more and more to the image of Christ. We will not like the things we used to do near as much, and we've got a new fondness for other things. Some of those things may be reading the Bible, fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ, prayer, and then something else happens too. That transformation that happens in us, we get this joy and we want to share that with other people. We start feeling compelled to share with others what God has done in us. Point two, the gospel is God's plan to lead us from ways of the world into the ways of God. When we come to faith in God and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, He fills us with His Spirit, and that Spirit is the power that pulls us out of the world. In order to transform us, the way that we think, and transform the way that we act, and conform us into the image of Christ. Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So this means exactly what it sounds like, When God puts His Spirit inside of us, He gives us the ability to be different from the world. We don't have to stay in that sinful life that we were once living. We come out of the world, we're different. We smell different. We look different. We do different things. How do we renew our mind? This right here. Spend time in the Word of God. It washes our mind clean. It purifies us. The Bible tells us that it's alive and active. The more we read it, the more it gets in, the more it does, the more it transforms us into the image of Christ. Prayer. Commune with the Father God. Meditation on the Word, learning the Word, memorizing Scripture. Every bit of that purifies our hearts and makes us more like Jesus. Ephesians 4:20-25. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Simply stated, once you come to Christ, you won't act like you used to act. It just doesn't happen. I used to love doing all kinds of things that I don't love to do anymore. God calls us to holiness. He calls us to separateness. He calls us to be different from the world. Put off that old way of life. Put off that old self. Crucify it with Christ. Change the attitude of your mind by renew it in the Word and be transformed by the power of the gospel. That's what God has called us to as saved souls. That's what He wants for each one of us. Forsake the things of the world and let the Spirit of God continue to do the work inside of us that He's begun. God is faithful to carry to completion the works that He has started in each one of us. Point number three, the gospel is God's plan to take us from purposelessness to purposefulness. I hope I got that right. Do y'all ever wonder why there's so much turmoil in the world? You got gangs everywhere, even in small town Claxton, Georgia. You got people hell-bent on hating each other, shooting each other, killing each other, murders, robbing stores, all these terrible things that we see on the news every single night because nobody has any purpose. They don't have anything to do, nothing that motivates them to be better and do better. When we have no purpose, we get caught up in all kinds of things. But the power of the gospel, the power that the gospel has, gives our life purpose. It takes us from idle to having something to do for the kingdom of God. Jeremiah 29:11 says that, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God already knows the plans He has for each one of us. Those plans are to prosper us, not prosper us in prosperity, giving new cars, new houses, and big money. That's not what the prosperity that He's talking about here. The prosperity that He's talking about in this verse is a prosperous relationship with Him. And when we have that relationship with Him, we're able to do the things for the kingdom that He wants us to do. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork and created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which as God has prepared in advance for us to do. When God calls us, He's got something for us to do. It's that simple. He calls us, He saves us, here's a task. You might be an evangelist. You might just be somebody to share the gospel message with somebody in your family. We don't know what God's got for us each day, but what we do is we wake up each day expectantly looking for God to move in our life and expectantly giving us purpose for that day to do something for his kingdom. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes upon you. Whenever we get somewhere and we don't know what to do, we don't know what we're supposed to say, we don't know where we're supposed to go, what do? We pray about it, and God will counsel us because his loving eye is upon us. He's got things for us to do, and he will give us counsel. Point number four, the gospel is God's plan to move us from walking in the flesh to walking in the spirit. I want to read Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. I'm going to read all the way through verse 24, and it's important. This is heavy right here. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is a heavy, heavy passage. Extremely heavy passage. This is a contrast between a life lived in the Spirit and a life lived for the flesh. I want you to look and think this morning, if somebody was to take a picture of your life right now and they had that picture of your life, where would they classify it? I know that's rough, but my job here today is to make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus. If somebody was to take a snapshot of your life right now and it would be classified as this person lives in the flesh, then I want to warn you today that you are in dire danger right now. You have the possibility of eternity out of the presence of God. But it's also my honor this morning to be able to tell you that there's a way out of that today. Some of you know right now that God is speaking to you. God, you know that your life is lived in the flesh. You know that you're not being obedient to the Lord and what he's called you to do. And I want to call you into obedience this morning. I want to call you into that relationship with Christ this morning. I want to ask you a question. Do you have purpose in your life, or are you still walking without a purpose? Are you walking in the ways of God today, or are you still walking in the flesh? Are you a saved saint, or are you a lost sinner? My job this morning is not to ask you if you are saved, because you're going to look at your heart. Your heart's deceitfully wicked. It's going to lie to you, and it's going to say, yeah, you're saved. What I want you to do this morning is I want to look at your life. Do you have proof that the Spirit is working in your life? Is the power of the gospel transforming your life? If it is, I'm happy for you, and I'm ecstatic for you. But if it's not, today's the day to get that right. Today's the day to come forward and let's get that relationship right. The first thing we read in this verse in 1:16 was Paul said, I'm not ashamed. And you know why he said he's not ashamed? Because the devil uses shame to keep us from coming to Christ. We're ashamed of the things that we did in life, the people that we did it with in life, the places that we've been. That shame keeps us from coming to Christ. Don't let that shame keep you from coming to Christ this morning. I told you I read verses 1-7 last for a specific reason. And there's something that Paul noticed in here, and y'all have to get this morning. You have to get this. In verse 1, Paul says, a servant of Christ Jesus called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Not only did God called Paul personally. But if you're sitting right there right now and you know that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and you're getting a little sweaty, your heart's about to beat out of your chest and you're holding on because you know you're getting ready to get called out and come forward, God's calling you by name just like he did Paul. Paul was not any more special than either one of you guys here today. Not any more special than me. Not any more special than anybody else. If God is speaking to you today, then I'm going to call you to repentance. I'm going to call you to the altar this morning as we get ready to finish up and Chase plays this song. And I want you to come and get right with God. We've got the prayer team going to come up here and pray with you this morning. I want you today to know that your eternity can be changed forever. The other thing that in the verses 1 through 7 right here that Paul says, which is very common in most of his greetings, he says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What I want you to know this morning is that if you don't have the peace of God in your life right now, the grace of God has not been poured out on your life. If you do not have peace with God right now, you don't have the grace of God right now. I'm getting ready to close, and I'm going to pray for us. If you know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, please come forward. Let's get this handled today. I've got people right here that will love on you, that will pray with you, and that we'll get that relationship right with God so that you can continue to walk forward in what God's got for you. I promise it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, God. And I'm thankful for you speaking your message through me this morning, God. And I pray for the people that are sitting here right now that are sitting under that shame and that condemnation that the enemy is speaking in their ear and telling them that they're not good enough to come forward, that God doesn't want a relationship with them because of the things they've done in their past, God. I break that right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. I pray that you bind those demons up, that they cannot speak those lies into anybody's head in here this morning, God. And I pray that you will give every single person in here that you're calling today, God, every single person that's sitting there sweating, every single person that knows that you're speaking to them, but they're too ashamed to get up right now, God. I cancel that shame in Jesus' name, God. I pray that you'll give them the boldness to come forward, God, to get that relationship right with you this morning, God. I pray, God, whatever their next step may be, God, I pray that you bring them to the front right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.